All right, Psalm 119 tonight, Psalm 119. And we're going to be looking at verses 73 through 80 tonight. And last week, we looked at affliction. The affliction of God is that is good. Affliction talking about discipline, the chastisement because of wrongdoing. We see that in the verses here in verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. For I believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. And why I'm mentioning that? Because affliction is going to come back into our study tonight in these next couple of verses. But tonight I want to do a bit of a study within a study. We're going to be looking at, based off of verse 78, we're going to read in a moment, about pride. Now, you will see the proud, that phrase, mentioned throughout Psalm 119, and we're going to look at every section of it, and why is that a recurring theme in David's life, and especially in the psalm, and we're going to look at that tonight. All right, make sure I turn my microphone on here. Am I on now? Am I good to go? All right. If you could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Psalm 119, beginning in verse number 73, and down through verse number 80 tonight. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Verse 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Dearly Father, I pray that you would bless our time together in your word, that you give us guidance and instruction. And Lord, maybe some are being afflicted, maybe some are discouraged, maybe some are doing okay and they're strong in their spiritual walk. I pray no matter what our station or condition, Lord, that we would take truths and nuggets of truth tonight, that we would apply them and use them in our daily life. I pray that you would guide and direct my words, help me to be clear tonight and rightly divide your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So tonight, the message is entitled, Beware of Pride. Beware of pride. And we're going to get to that section of the sermon in just a minute. However, I want to give some introductory thoughts on the first couple of verses here. This particular psalm is more set up as a proverb. There's some different thoughts in there. And I'm going to elaborate on the first couple of verses here. And then we're going to move on with a sermon based off and a lesson based off of verse 78. So here's some introductory thoughts. Let's look at verse 73. So thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Now, I don't think this is any news to us, but if we think about this for a moment, that God has made us. Maybe some people might ask, well, why is God maybe this way? Why do I have a certain ability or maybe even a certain, people call it a disability, if you will. Some people, I used to ask that question when I was growing up. I had severe asthma, and I would just ask, well, why did God make me that way? Why did God make me where I couldn't breathe when I ran, you know, had to take medicine every day? Why did I have allergies? I mean, when springtime came around, I had a towel I carried around, you know, an old snotty towel because my nose would just run constantly. I'm sure you wanted to know that. But this is something that I asked a question many times, that, Mom, why did God make me like this? Why am I like this? As well, God wanted you made that way for a special purpose. And you know what? Many times God makes us in this particular way and gives us abilities. Also, sometimes he gives us some hindrances, if you will. Paul described his as a thorn in the flesh. Many believe it was a physical condition. He asked the Lord to take it away from him three times. And the Lord gave him an answer, my grace is sufficient for you. So no matter what situation you're in, remember, God has made us. Therefore, because he has made us, verse 73 has this idea, Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Now, since God created us and God created the world, don't you think we ought to go to the one who created us to get our knowledge? Don't you think we ought to go to him to learn about the world? He was there, right, when it was created. We should go to him and his word when it talks about where we come from, about creation, the 6 days of creation. You know why? God was there. We were not. We don't know the end from the beginning. God does. We don't know what our future holds. God does. We don't know what's going to happen in the world tomorrow, but God does. So we need to go to him for knowledge and instruction. This is so important. If anything else, I want to love God more, but realize that he made you. He designed you. We gave us salvation. And so don't you think we ought to go to the one who made us, the creator, the designer, the blueprint maker, and ask him, Lord, what do I do with my life? What did you make me for? Now, let's just think for a moment if a pocket watch could think and was alive, right? You know, and the pocket watch has become self-aware, you know, and they all talk about this, computers becoming self-aware. And by the way, it'll never happen because life is not based on evolution. It's given by God. So that'll never happen no matter how much they try. Okay, but here we go. So let's say a watch became self-aware and it began to wonder and say, well, what is my purpose? And, you know, maybe become self-aware as the clockmaker, the watchmaker is making it on the bench and everything becomes self-aware. What is my purpose? You know what? I'm going to go ask the dog what my purpose is. The dog doesn't know. You know, go ask the cat. The cat doesn't know. Go ask anybody else, but doesn't ask the watchmaker what his purpose is. He finally does, and then the watchmaker lets him know what his purpose is, to keep time. You know, so many people go to so many different things to find out what their purpose in life is. You know, there's books dedicated to this. There's whole classes in college dedicated to this. There's whole counseling programs. What is your purpose in life? And they go all the way around the answer, which is right here. They don't go to God for, Lord, what is my purpose? We have some general things about the will of God we know that all Christians are supposed to do. But yes, there's a specific will of God for you. Will you go to him for the knowledge of that? Go and see what he would have for you to do. We see in Psalm 100 in verse number 3, a wonderful verse. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Well, that addresses the evolutionary problem, doesn't it? Not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He has made us. So remember who made us, who we are, and go to him for guidance and instruction. Now let's go down to verse number 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Now fellowship with fellow believers is always a sweet and wonderful thing. Now here, but what is the reason for this? These people were glad to see David. Why? We see that they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Why? Because I have hoped in thy word. And so remember who David is. David is king. And these people are glad. They fear God. They are glad to see him. Why? Because they know he walks with God. You know, we always like it when evangelists and different ones come through, especially ones that we know, Brother Starr being one, and different ones, they come in. You know why? Because we know they walk with God. We're glad to see them. Their hope is in God's word and in the relationship with God. It's not in their own abilities. And we meet people, and our hearts, if you're walking with God, your heart gets knit together with different people. Why? Because you know that they hope in God's word. They're not trusting in their own abilities. They're not trusting in their own self. They're trusting in God and walking with God. And David, why people loved him and followed him is because he was a godly leader, because he trusted God's word. His hope is in God's word. And people were glad to see him. You know, we always like it when a president of the United States professes to be a Christian. Now, whether or not they act like one is another matter. But I think it would be exciting. I think it would be encouraging for God's people. It would not be encouraging for the socialists that are trying to take over America. It would not be exciting for the atheists. It would not be exciting for anybody else that denies and blasphemes God. But to those who are Christians and fully believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with him, they have a leader that stands up and says, we're going to run this country by the Bible. I mean, we'd have riots in the streets if we did that. You know, I hope you understand that. If a president got up or something, well, we're going to run our country by the Bible, the Word of God. Now, back when the founding of our country, that's what they wanted. But today, there'd be riots in the street. They'd burn half the country down if we did that. Why? Because there are so many that have turned away from God. But those that love God, you know what? Their heart is comforted and are glad to see someone that walks with God. So that's also an important level of our fellowship. We need to find people that love God, that love the Word of God, not just anybody. You know, anybody can go and be a friend to anybody, but it's hard sometimes to find good, godly people to fellowship with. Look at Psalm 34 and verse number 2. Psalm 34 and verse number 2. Psalm 34, verse number 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Boast in what? Did David boast in himself? No, he boasted in the Lord. And we see that with David and Goliath, that his trust was not in his ability, not in his stature, not in his intellect, not in anything else, but his trust was in the Lord. And people were glad of that when they saw it. And Jonathan was the same. That's why David and Jonathan became such good friends, because they both loved and hoped in God's word. All right, move on to the next verse. We're getting closer. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Now, last week we talked about affliction, that the chastisement of the Lord is good. And we found it that the chastisement comes because of our sin. Now, God's judgments are always right. We see that in verse 75. That thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. What do we learn here? That God's judgments are right. God's always right. We're wrong. God is not fair. No, he's right. And he's good. We learned that last week. But second, God always is always faithful in afflicting and giving chastisement. He faithfully does it. And we've talked about this Sunday night with disciplining our children. And this is an aspect of God's chastisement to us. He faithfully does it every time. And the way we should as well. But also, we see in verse number 76, let I pray thee thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. And that God in his kindness comforts us afterwards. Isn't that a blessing? To know that. And that's a pattern for when we discipline our children, is that, yes, we afflict them because of their sin, but then we comfort them afterwards. That is a biblical principle here, because God does the same. When we are afflicted, either through chastisement or just through a trial, God, in his mercy, comforts us after the fact. And we see that in verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. And this brings, God's mercy brings deliverance to us in our time of distress. And this is what David looked for, and David was comforted by. So these are some introductory thoughts and some thinking here. But now, let's look at verse 78. I want to focus on this last part here. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Now, throughout the book of, or I should say the Psalm, Psalm 119, we see the proud is mentioned over and over again, and it's always in a negative sense, never positive, in that they were doing something to David in his life. And we're going to look at all of those in a moment. And it was never something good. But David always, no matter what with the proud, no matter what someone was doing to him, he was faithful to God's word. And that this always, you'll see this. You will see the statement of the proud and then what they were doing to him and then why he was faithful, why he was meditating, why he was standing in the word of God. Now, God speaks of the proud, and it speaks often of pride in the Bible. Now, if we look at some introductory thoughts, you've taken notes. Number one, we see first the abomination of pride. The abomination of pride. God speaks often of pride in the Bible. It is one of the three headwaters of all sin. We knew that in 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and what? The pride of life. And we see that these are the three headwaters of sin. Now, we just mentioned abomination. We hear the word abomination a lot. But what does it mean? It's important to understand what words mean. Just because you hear them a lot doesn't mean we understand what they mean. Abomination means extreme hatred. at detestation to the point of making one sick. Extreme hatred. So what does God say about pride? Well, Pastor, we know that pride is an abomination to him. We're going to look at some of those things tonight. But why is it that the proud are mentioned in afflicting David? Because of this, and I'll show this to you here in a minute, that if we are proud, we become the enemy of God. If we live in pride, in our arrogance, we become the enemy of God. And let's look here. Look at Psalm 73 and verse 6. We're going to look at some verses about what does God say about pride. Psalm 73 and verse number 6. We're going to be going through a lot of different verses. So keep your Bible-turning fingers limbered up. Psalm 73, verse number 6. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. So therefore, pride, you know, what do we hear today so often about ourselves, about self-esteem and about the culture we have today? It's about my rights. It's about my freedoms. It's about this. True, do we have rights in the United States of America? Absolutely, we do. And everyone is entitled to that. But what we're talking about is, well, I deserve this. You know, we call it the entitlement mentality. I deserve this. I want this. I am free to do this. And that's the way man in the flesh, in the natural state, thinks. Well, I can do this if I want. True, you can. Doesn't mean that's what you're supposed to do. Are we free to do anything that we please? Well, we may think so. But the Bible has some very clear teaching on that. But the source of that is pride. I can do what I want. The rules don't apply to me. I am free to make my own choices. But what do we see here in verse number 6 of Psalm 73? Therefore, pride compasses them about as a what? A chain. So pride doesn't bring freedom. It brings bondage. It brings bondage to sin. Pride doesn't free you from anything. Pride just gets you in a big mess of trouble. And what happened? What else happens? Violence covereth them as a garment. So we say, why violence? Now, have you ever tried to tell someone who is proud that they're wrong? What happens? They get angry. Well, they get, the correct word's mad, right? Because the difference between angry, they get mad. And then if you keep pressing, guess what? They get more mad. And then if you push someone, especially if they're very, very proud and arrogant, what's going to happen? They're going to get violent. If they don't have any self-control, they'll get violent. Pride brings violence. Pride brings anger. Pride brings all kinds of things into our life. Now let's look at Proverbs 6 and verses 16 and 17. Not only that, brings bondage to sin, brings other sins with it. Proverbs 6, verse 16 and 17. Pride is the rules don't apply to me. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Now the Lord, when it talks about hates, God hates sin. He hates sin. It's detestable to him. Now, six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. So these seven things are, he especially hates. Not only hates them, but he especially hates them. Number one on the list. What is it? Verse 17. A proud look. I'm right. You know what? You don't have to say that you're proud. You just have to look like it. Right? We talk to people and, you know, guys, we have trouble with this more than anything. But I've had people sit in my office, and I'm talking to them, and then I hit on something. And what's a proud look? Stiffen up. Nose goes up. You know why? You know where you get the phrase, stick your nose in the air at people? And it still goes up like that. Tilt your head back. And they take a little breath in like that. Like you stepped on something. I'm like, ha, I got it. Okay, I finally hit it. You know, and that's exactly it. And that's a hard thing to do, to confront people on their pride. What their problem is, and you confront them, they put their head back like that. God hates that. And what that shows is an attitude. You know, we say, well, when our children, when they do something wrong, say, well, you have an attitude problem. What we have done, we have offended their pride. that they thought they were doing the right thing and they should be able to do what they want to do, and mom and dad's rules stink and aren't fair. Right? That's what our kids do. You know, a lot of adults do that with God. I want to do what I want to do. God's rules just stink and aren't fair. I want to do what I want to do. And they go and do it and they get themselves in a mess of trouble. And that's pride that brings that. Instead of saying, well, it's not what I think, it's what God thinks. It's not what I want, it was what God wants. It's not what I think needs to be done, it's what God says needs to be done. And you know, many times God asks us to do things, they're hard things to do. It's not the easy solution. We like the easy solution. The path of least resistance, but sometimes the right decisions to make in the right direction are hard to do and hard to make. But pride says, no, I want to do it my way. God hates that. And what's right next to it? What's connected to this? Why is it mentioned first? Remember, it's one of the three waterheads of sin. So, proud look, and then what? A lying tongue. God hates that too. A lying tongue, and the two go together. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. You know what? You just see some people, and they just can't seem to stay out of trouble, right? They go from thing to thing to thing to thing. They get one thing, and they go to another. And say, what is wrong with these people? They're proud. They're proud. They think they can do anything they want and get away with it. Now, we look at that. Now, pride is considered by many as the original sin, going back to Satan up in heaven. Now, remember the place of Satan, that he was cherubim, and he had a great position, the angel of light. And we see here in Isaiah 14 that what he decided he was going to do. He was more beautiful than all the others. He was great in a special way. He was he's an angel of light. And some people might say, well, why does he show the angel of light? What is Jesus described as in the Gospels? I am the light of the world. We don't know. It's possible. Some people have theorized that the job of Lucifer was to proclaim the glory of Jesus Christ himself. And, of course, the glory of God, they all were, but had a specific job in that. Some people believe that he was in charge of music and things like that, since he used other things. That is supposition the Bible doesn't say, okay? These are supposings, but he was a very beautiful, very powerful, and had a very important job that God gave him to do. But then he decided that he was a pretty big deal. That God wasn't running the universe right. And that he knew how to do it better. And we see that in verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend upon the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now, right here, we see Lucifer, and this is what he thought, and this is what he said. He led a rebellion in heaven, and that's what brings rebellion, is pride. And what he did, and he decided that God wasn't running the universe right, and he wanted to run the universe. And that he wanted to be in charge. That he wanted to be all-powerful. That he wanted to know all things. That he wanted to be like the Most High. Isn't that interesting what he did, tempted Adam and Eve with the same thing? You be like gods. He believed it. He lied. Many people say he committed the first lie, that he believed it himself too. That he could be greater than God, even though he was created by God. And that pride, I mean, it brought him all kinds of wonderful things, didn't it? Imagine that. You know, we look at it and we see it in this way, that he had such an important place in God's creation, but that wasn't good enough for him. And you know what? God has an important place for us in his creation. Is that good enough for us? Some people say, no, I want to do my thing and do my way and go do my own things. But this pride that Satan had didn't get him anywhere. It got him cast out of heaven, and eventually will be cast into the bottomless pit. That is where his place is, because of his pride. Satan is full of pride. And because of pride, he is the father of what? We learned that on Sunday morning. He's a father of lies. because he's proud, wants to deceive. So it's safe to say that pride is satanic. Pride is not just something that we go around and say, well, this is just part of my life. Pride is satanic. Pride caused Adam and Eve to sin. We see that Eve looked at it and said, you know what? This guy's right. I could be a god, you know, and just that, the power and status and all of these things. Something special that we can be, that special individual, more special than somebody else. No, you see these talent shows that are on TV and all these things, you know, American Idol and all these things, they line up, people line up by the thousands so that they can be recognized that they're more special than somebody else. That's the whole premise of the entire thing, is that they're just an idol. They're more important than other people. They have a gift that other people don't have. That's pride. And that will only bring destruction. You know what? You ask parents all the time, you know, with their kids, they have an ability. You know, what do you want my kid? What do you want your child to be? I want my child to be a superstar. I feel like saying, have you looked at what happens to these people? How many of them die before they're 50? Because of drugs and alcohol and STDs and all these different things. So really, you want your child to do that? Y'all want to make them lots of money so they can take care of me. Right? That's pride. Even putting things above your own children. People make decisions all the time based on me instead of what's best for your kids. What's best for the family. More importantly, what God wants you to do. That is so important. We have responsibility given us in God's Word. And say, well, I want what I want. No, you need to do what God wants you to do. Doesn't matter what we want, because if we go by what we want, we'll get ourselves in trouble every single time. Number two, so we see the abomination of pride and where it comes from. We see a second, the actions of pride. If we have pride brewing in our hearts, it will bring definite actions. And here is a list of them from Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119. We're going to go start at the beginning. The first one appears in verse 21 of Psalm 19, specifically talking about the proud. Psalm 119 and verse number 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. So right off the bat, we observe something here. That the proud, you can't be proud and walking with God at the same time. You can't be full of yourself and doing God's will. You can't be full of yourself and serving God. The two don't go together. Because if you're proud, you're going to do things the way you think. You're going to make the Bible say what you want it to say. And you're going to err from the commandments of God. Meaning to err, go into error. Go away from, depart from. You know what the Bible says? That we're to not be, let emotions control us, right? And be angry, and soon angry especially. And not to be in a rage and anger all the time. Why is that? Because pride brings that. But if we say, well, the Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your anger. So I can be angry until the sun goes down. Then when it's evening time, I guess I can stop. Why are you making the Bible say what you want it to say? Why? Because you're proud. You're erring. You're departing from what God wants you to do and what God's command is. God's command is God's command. What do we see that? Psalm 1. Look back at Psalm 1. We see a comparison here. Now, blessed, you know, starts in verse number 1. Now, this is the two ways of life that are contrasted. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Well, how did they get to be ungodly? How did they get to be sinners? How did they get to be scornful? Pride. Why? Because it's the opposite of what God wants. Because here in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. I encourage you to go and to do a study through Proverbs and Psalms of the Bible and look at where righteousness and humbleness go together. That meekness, humbleness, and righteousness, they all go together. And Jesus was meek and humble and righteous in perfection. And as Christians, we're to be meek and humble and do the righteous works of God and follow his commands. Because if we're humble, we're going to say, I need this. Amen? If we're pride, say, I don't need that. I'll get it on Sunday. I don't need it every day. And you know what? It isn't that you have a bad habit when you get up in the morning that keeps you from your Bible. It's your pride that keeps you from your Bible. It's your pride that keeps you from prayer. Well, I don't need to pray today. That is pride keeping you from your Bible, keeping you from prayer, and pride getting in the way of your relationship with God. That's it. Well, I'm just not very disciplined. You can be disciplined if you want. I mean, a lot of us, we love chocolate, right? If we knew if we got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, we would get a chocolate bar of our choice. That's how we motivate the bus kids sometimes. So, pastor, is that right? Well, we got to do something. Get them up and going and encourage them to come. You know, kids need that. But, you know, adults, you know, we don't need anything to get up on time. Maybe you get Whataburger. You know, you get like a cinnamon roll or something. But, hey, you love chocolate and your favorite chocolate. If you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you'll get your favorite chocolate. I think a lot of us get up. But we won't get up for the Word of God. We won't get up for a prayer. Why? Well, I don't need that. I can sleep a little bit. I can do that later. That's pride. Because we need the every hour. I need the every hour, that hymn that we sing. Now, verse 51 is the next verse that is mentioned, Psalm 119, verse 51. The proud have made had me greatly in derision, yet have I not inclined from my law. Now, Psalm 1 also goes along with this. Derision means to be a laughingstock. In that, people were mocking him, scorning him, perhaps even in the midst of his trial, in the midst of him struggling. And this is what people do. The ungodly say, see what serving God gets you? See, it didn't work out like you thought. See, that's why I don't go to church, because I don't want those bad things to happen to me. See, look how puny your God is. That's what Goliath did. He was holding God in derision. Why? Because he was proud. He thought he was big and bad. He thought he was the best. And that's what the proud will do. The proud will rise up and say, and even Christian people will say, well, man, that I would have never done that. And I never, man, you were just pathetic if you let that happen to you. I never would let that happen. Oh, how many of us have been guilty of thinking that or even saying that? That's pride. That's holding someone in derision. And the Bible says we ought not do that. Psalm 1, what? Those that scorn, those that are ungodly, those that are sinners, they hold the godly in derision. Why? Because they're opposite. They're opposite. Being proud is the opposite of humbleness. Being meek is the opposite of arrogance. Arrogance is trusting in self. Meekness is trusting in God. So tonight, which place? So what do we do when this happens? Look at Psalm 119, verse 69. Just look at this the other week. The proud have forged a lie against me. Remember? And when we look back, and the seven things that God hates, an abomination to him. Number one is a proud look. Second is what? Who remembers? A lying tongue. So interesting. So Satan is proud and lies, right? He's the father of lies. He lied to Adam and Eve, lied to Eve in the garden. Then Eve perpetuated the lying to Adam. The devil lied to himself and thought that he could get away with being just like God or greater than God. And he believed it. So pride brings a deception into our hearts and our minds. Pride brings deception and lying, and people that lie are proud. So right here, they forged a lie against who? David. They lied against him, made a false accusation. Didn't they do that to Jesus? They brought false accusers and false witnesses to convict him wrongfully and unjustly. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, they were so proud of their religious system that they rejected the very Messiah who came to save them. And there are some who are so conceited in their own religious systems and in pride that they reject the precious gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, just as they did. You know what? People who are proud, they're going to lie about you. As a Christian, people are going to lie about you. Did you know that? They're going to lie about you. They're going to say you said things or did things that you did not do. They try and discredit you. Why? You convict them. The devil wants to try and lie about you, try to discredit you, try to slander you so that you're not effective for the Lord. But the Lord takes care of that in his way. Look at verse 78 now. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Ill treatment without a cause. Now it says here, perversely means crooked or false. Meaning the same talking about lying, but they were just crooked and perverse. They acted like friends, but they stabbed me in the back. Oh, and people do that. You know what? You're trying to help someone, and then you find out they're gossiping about you behind your back. Oh, they did this or this. Or do you know what's going on in their life? Well, it's true. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. Gossip is gossip. We shouldn't do it. But God will repay that. Look at Proverbs 11 and verse number 2. Proverbs 11 and verse number 2. God will take care of that. We need to forgive and move on and let God take care of it. But here, Proverbs 11, verse number 2. When pride cometh, then cometh what? Shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Lowly meaning meek or humble. So what did David want? David wanted the fulfillment of God's word here. He wanted that when someone is dealing perversely and lying, it eventually comes out, and they are what? Ashamed. Sin brings shame. And they will be ashamed. They will be shown for what they are. They'll be shown to be a crook. They'll be shown to be a liar in time. But we want that time to be now sometimes. Want to be yesterday. We want to be vindicated. Don't worry. The Lord will take care of that. And they will be ashamed in their time. And either we should pray one of two things. Lord, either bring them to repentance that they repent or bring them to shame for their sin. But how we react to these things is very important. Verse 85, the proud, you know what? The proud want to try and provoke you into being angry like they are. They're going to try and provoke you to anger. They're going to try and provoke you to do something wrong. Say, told you, you're no better than we are. Verse 85, the proud have digged pits for me, not after thy law. Well, what does that mean? So they have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. Now, remember what the world says, that calling good evil and evil good? They digged pits for me. Now, this is talking about the religious crowd. That, well, you need to do this and this. This would be a good example. This would be the Judaizers in the New Testament. That you need to be circumcised and follow the ceremonial law in order to be saved. And they would dig a pit for people to fall into. And it's because of their pride and their heritage and their pride in the law that they would dig a pit for someone, a snare for someone, but it wasn't in the Word of God. It wasn't God's law or command. And there are sometimes proud people that mislead sometimes young Christians and mislead people and say, well, you need to do this in order to be a good Christian, and it's not in the Bible, and you dig a pit for them and you tell them they're sinning if they don't follow it. Going to extra-biblical things. That's digging a pit for someone. And you know what? The proud do that. You know why? It is the proud that lift themselves up above God's word, either to add to it or to take away from it. See, taking away from God's word is bad, but adding to it is just as bad. Adding things that aren't written there is just as bad as taking away from it. Now, we have more people, I think, today that take away from it, but also there's those that add to it. You have the Mormons that add a ton. That's to the Bible. They actually rewrite their whole Bible so that you can believe what they believe. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they rewrite and they add to the Bible. That's the only way you can get what they believe out of it unless you add a ton of stuff to it. Because there are all kinds of things that aren't written there. They try to trap and destroy you with things that God has not ordained to do or commanded to do. Now look at verse 122. Of Psalm 119. Verse 122. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. So what do you mean oppress? Well, there are some results to pride. And the proud, and we see that in the book of James, it was the rich and proud that would oppress the Christians in the Roman world. It was the rich and those that many times the Bible said in Proverbs, they oppressed the poor. They oppress them and try and get whatever they can out of them. So what are the results of these things? Well, the first thing that we know in Proverbs 13:10 will be contention Only by pride cometh contention. There's going to be problems. Because of pride, you're going to have problems with people, and people are going to have problems with you. Well, I don't understand why people always have a problem with me. I don't understand. I don't have a problem with people, but someone always has a problem with me. You're proud. That's what your problem is. You're proud. And you will cause problems with people. You know what? Isn't it great, you know, when you're in the middle, you're going through a trial and something like that someone has to pipe up and give their 2 cents? Right? You know, I know exactly what to tell them. You know what? They're going through a hard time and everything. Well, you know what? Now, don't misunderstand me here. We have experiences in life that help us help other people. Oh, this is what I did. I went through the same exact thing. I know exactly how you feel. Don't do it. No, you don't know exactly how they feel. Maybe you felt similar or you think you did. Just avoid that statement. But because I know exactly how you feel, I went through the same thing. And man, it was so bad. It was so, so bad. Not quite as bad as yours. But I went through much worse. And look at me. And you know what? And you're thinking in your mind, and you say, Lord, I need help. And you know what? At that point, are you being a help to someone or a burden to somebody? You're being a burden to them. Being a distraction. And you're not helping them. Why? Because you're proud. Look at what I did. I've got spiritual muscles. Look at what I can do. Instead of, Lord, help me to show them what you have for them and how you can help them. That's what pride does. Pride exalts self. Humbleness exalts the Savior. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Brings contention. But we also looked, and we looked at Proverbs 12, verse 20. Proverbs 12, verse 20. It will bring deception. It will bring deception. Proverbs 12, verse number 20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. What happens here? Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. Pride. Doesn't matter how good you look on the outside, you can still be rotten on the inside. You can pass off and deceive and try and show yourself to be a big spiritual person, but you can be rotten on the inside. So what are the results? Well, the results aren't good. Result number one, sin. The three headwaters of sin is pride, the pride of life. Sin, second, we see in verse 78, it brings shame. Look back to Psalm 119, verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. It will bring shame, and then, according to Proverbs 16:18, it will bring destruction. Sin, shame, and destruction. Not good things. It's not going to bring good things. Well, we need to have a certain amount of self-respect. Where does it say that in the Bible? Where does it say, well, we need to have some self-esteem? Where does it say that in the Bible? Guess what? We don't have self-esteem problems. We're naturally proud people because of our sin nature. What do we need to do? We need to humble ourselves. All through the New Testament, over and over again, humble yourself. Humble yourself. What is Romans 12, 1 and 2? To sacrifice and give yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Be not conformed to this world. Verse number 3. And not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. Well, we just surrender to God. Why do we have to remember that? Because that's number one thing the devil tries to get you with is your pride. Well, I'm dedicated to God now. Look at all the things I can do. No, you're dedicated to God. Keep your pride in check. This has no place in a Christian's life. You will not be righteous. You will not have a walk with God. Why? Because God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You will not obey the commands of God. You know what you will be like? If you are proud, you'll be just like a defiant child. That when they're given a command, no, I'm not going to do it. Because why do children do that? Because they have risen up in their heart that they know better than you. And that's what pride does. The devil thought he knew better than God. Eve thought she knew better than God. Right? Well, she was deceived. She was deceived, yes, but she believed the lie that she would be like a god when she took of that fruit. She believed it. And it appealed to her. And she thought she knew better than God. Adam thought he knew better than God. And you know what? The Bible is full of people that thought they knew better than God, and they didn't.
So we see the example. If we see Satan, who was created far above and far above us in powers and abilities and in glory, created immortal, and he is going to be judged for his pride, don't you think we will? We'll be judged for our pride. Don't be, no, I'm not going to do it, Lord. Said, not my will, but thine. That's humbleness. It's not what I think. It's not what I want. You know, and things chafe against the flesh that we're to do in the Spirit of God. What the Bible says. You know what? I said, Pastor, I don't understand something. Whenever I read the Word of God, it chafes something inside of me. That's normal. Because our flesh doesn't want what God wants. Our flesh doesn't want the way of God. Our flesh doesn't want the commands of God. And pride will rear its ugly head and say, you don't have to listen to that. But you know what you need to do? So, Lord, I submit myself to you. I need this. Because whatever you're reading and it's chafing against the flesh, that's exactly what you need. That's exactly, you know why? Because it's pressing against something that shouldn't be there. So listen to the Spirit of God and listen to the power of God and listen to the Word of God. Follow it. Do not err from the commandments as the proud do. Follow God's Word and beware of pride. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that you would guide and direct us, Lord, as we come to you tonight in this invitation time. Lord, forgive us if our pride has gotten in the way. Lord, forgive us if our pride has gotten in the way of our relationship with you. We have not been following your commands. We have not been praying. We have been not walking with you as we need to walk. Lord, I pray that we would lay our pride down, that we would not say, I want to. I have the right to do this. Instead, Lord, not my will, but thine. I will do your will. I will do your word. Oh, Lord, the attitude is so different. Such a big change, and you can bring that change about in someone's heart. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.